Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at yankeearnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 31, chapter 31. Here's a good little question for you. Now, this is a difficult question, but I always like to ask a nice question to see if you're thinking. You got your brain turned on in the morning. Where was your mother when you were born? Now, I know it's a hard, complicated question, but where was your mother when you were born? Nobody knows the answer. She was with you? How many would say that your mother was right there with you when you were born? Huh? Isn't that wonderful to know that your mother was there when you were born? So you weren't born all alone. It's good to have your mama there. Well, when you got saved, born again, born into God's family, where was God when you were born? He was right there with you. He had to be. Because you were born of God. Duh. Take your Bible, look there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31. There's a couple of verses here that are really interesting. Because, you know, Moses now has, well, he's been got up there in years. And he, 120 years old. See there in verse 1? Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day, on his birthday, I guess. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them, even Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. So the Lord was with Moses all those years. Now it's Joshua's turn. Somebody else is coming on the scene. But here you are, you're God's child, you're going to heaven when you die, and there's promises that God has made. Now look there in the previous chapter where he makes a statement in verse 15 of chapter 30, where he says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. I, the Lord, said, I set before you this day. It means that the Lord must prepare every day. There's the opportunities God sets before us. Every day is loaded with decisions, choices to make. So we study the Word of God so that we can make the right decisions. The right decision isn't right because you think it's right. You know, a lot of people, they do what they think is the best. Yeah, but that doesn't mean it is the best. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. So if you go only by that little brain that God gave you up there, and you don't put the right info in it, you can't get the right info out. So that's why you study what God says, and it makes a lot of sense. So in verse 16 he says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord. So did you know that it was a command to love God? And look what else he says. To walk in his ways. Not just to love him, but to walk with him and serve him. And to keep his commandments. And get this. That thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So God made a good bunch of promises to Israel. And he said, I'm setting before you all these opportunities. Sometimes we think, boy, wouldn't it have been great to have lived back then when God made all those wonderful promises that if I do this, he's going to bless me? Well, I thought that's what he's already done in the times in which we live too. You say, well, that's in the Old Testament, though. You don't go in the Old Testament and pick out what you want and throw it in the New Testament and say, okay, now this is what we got to do. Well, that sounds good. It's just that it's not right. For example, look there in verse 6 of chapter 31. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. That doth go with thee. And he, and you ought to underline this, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's a phrase in the Old Testament. Surely you're not going to find that in the New Testament that we're supposed to agree with that, right? Okay. Look there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And you'll notice, lo and behold, that there is a verse that says the same thing. And it's a quote from those scriptures in the Old Testament. But here we are in the New Testament, and God is telling us some things that would help us in our Christian life. So Hebrews chapter 13, notice what he says there in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Really refers to your manner of life. And be content with such things as you have. And here's the reason why we can be content. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, lo and behold, where is that found? Back there where we just read it just a minute ago, Deuteronomy 31. So even though it's a statement in the Old Testament, the truth of it is still good for today. It's good for you and me. Look what he says. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All right. So when did he first come to see you? Well, where was your mother when you were born? She was right there. Or so when you got saved, evidently, he was right there. Wouldn't you say? He was right there with you. And then there's this verse in the Bible that says, I'll never leave you and never say. Have you ever seen some mamas leave their kids? You ever heard about that? Parents that leave their kids. But you know from the Word of God, God says, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. He said, it'll never happen. That's a promise. But in your life, you'd be surprised how many times you'll wonder, I wonder where God is. You mean because you can't see him? You can't believe him? He tells you something and he wants us to live by faith. God is with you. And he'll never leave you and never forsake you. Look in verse 6 of the same chapter. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, why do you think when he says over there in verse 5, let your manner of life be without covetousness, desiring the things of the world, being content with whatever you have, having him present with me all the time is more important and more precious than anything you'll own or possess in this world, as I have the Lord. You may not have money, but I got the Lord. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, between me and God, we can do anything. I don't care what it is, me and God can do it. Oh, of course, you know that I have to depend on him for most of it. And if there's anything that needs to be known, well, he knows it. If I don't know it, he knows it. So between you and God, you can do anything you ought to do. Because he'll never leave you and never forsake you. Isn't that a good promise? You ought to be thrilled just knowing that. So take your Bible and look there with me in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And you'll notice, right before the Lord was to go back into heaven, he looked at his disciples and he said something to them. See there in verse 18? And Jesus came and spake unto them. This is in Matthew 28:18. Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And you ought to underline this last statement. And lo, I might be with you most of the time. I will be with you always. I will be with you always. So you have a promise in the Old Testament. You got it here at the end of the Gospels, and you have it later on in the book of Hebrews, where God makes a promise. God must keep his word. So therefore, believe him and don't worry about it. Another statement is, as you know, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, where it says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, that were born of God. It would be hard to be born of your mother and your mother not be there. But it's another thing to say, I'm born of God and God wasn't there. He is my father. He fathered me. I am his child. And my father says he'll never leave me and never forsake me. He must say that for a reason. Because we live sometimes because, you know, we can't see God. We go by what we do see. And I don't see God. But I have his word. I got his promise. And he wants us to believe him and to really trust him. Now, has there been times in your life when you've had a lot of sorrow? Sorrow, and you've suffered, you go through things, and it hurts. And you wonder whether or not, Lord, do you know what I'm going through? Now think for a moment. Because almost everything that happens in life, we always wonder, well, why'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Sometimes we automatically, oh, what did I do wrong? I didn't deserve this. Have you ever thought you deserved to be whooped and didn't get it? And you think thankful for the mercy of the Lord? Well, sometimes God will bless you and you didn't deserve that. He just blesses you. Gives you more than you could think of. Where he says, he talks about, he will give us abundantly above all that we ask or even think. That's why life is so wonderful, because it's so surprising. You can never figure out exactly what's going to take place the next moment. You can't always accurately predict everything. So in the process of life, God allows us to have a lot of heartache and a lot of sorrow. But in the midst of the heartache and sorrow, is the Lord always there? And he says, I'll never leave you and never forsake you, and I will always be there. Because I used to always ask this question when I was going through difficult times. Lord, where are you? Sometimes it seemed like God has forsaken me. And then I came to the conclusion, true faithfulness to the Lord is when you remain faithful when it appears he's let you down. Let me repeat that again. True faithfulness is when you remain faithful when it appears he's let you down. Because there'll be times in your life when you expect and it didn't happen and God failed you. But he says, not only I will never leave you nor forsake you, I will not fail you. Those words are also in there in the book of Deuteronomy. I'll not fail you. It means God doesn't fail. He cannot fail. Now, sometimes we expect things, but see, there's a plan that God has, and God is working out his will in your life. You and I are supposed to believe that. Another time, when it comes to praying, can you imagine that God's children pray? He says, whatsoever you ask, you shall receive according to his will. Oh, we forgot that part. Whatever you ask according to his will. What does God want? Lord, I want you to give me $1 million this afternoon. Well, I didn't get it. So there. God doesn't answer prayer. He says, because you ask amiss, or that you may consume it upon your own lust. See, it's one thing to ask God for whatever you need to do whatever God wants you to do. Whatever God wants you to have. Well, God, see, there's some things you have not because, he says, you ask not. So whatever it is you want, ask. You say, well, God knows what I need. I don't have to ask him. That's not what he said. He said he hath knowledge and he knows what you have need of before you ask. But it doesn't mean you're going to get it just because he knows you want it. Did you ask him? And ye have not because ye didn't ask him. I just figure I'm going to ask for God for everything. If I don't get it, it won't be because I didn't ask. Don't you just feel like if this any part of this is even close to true, the difference it ought to make in your life. What have you been asking God for lately? Talk to the Lord about everything. God says to do it, and he'll bless you. Now, there is this thing called persecution. Everybody loves it, right? Okay, nobody likes it. But take your Bible and look in the book of John, chapter 16. The Gospel of John in chapter 16. John, chapter 16. Jesus says that in this world, you're going to have persecution. So look there in verse 33. Verse 33. He talked to his disciples about some things. He told them about the Holy Spirit's going to come. And how it's going to, you know, reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He talks about the joy that he has and the joy that he wants to give. And so he says, you're going to be a little sorrowful because I'm going to go away and you're not going to see me for a while. So they weren't happy about that. So before we get that, let me just show you that. Look here in verse 20 of John chapter 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament. Well, wait a minute. Why don't you just, Lord, keep that from happening so we're not sad or discouraged or despair? Couldn't God, you know, prohibit us from having a bad day? But you know, God doesn't stop you from having a bad day. A bad day is the attitude by which you face that day. You're the one that determines whether it's a good day or a bad day, not God. God simply gives us opportunities every day to choices, to make decisions. We're the one that decides whether or not, is this going to be a good day or is this going to be a bad day? I believe this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So look what he says. In verse 20, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Because, see, you know that you're going to win in the end. You've already cheated. You read their last book in the Bible, and it says, we win. Even if they were to kill you, they've only shortened your life and hurried you to heaven. Isn't that where we're waiting to go? So, if we was going to take a load right now, would you be ready? Or would you want to wait a while? How many is ready to go right now? Most of you. That's pretty good. Well, I don't want to seem to be too spiritual, but y'all going to need somebody to perform the funeral services. So I'll stick around here and do the funeral services for everybody. And then after everybody's dead, I'll go. Okay. All right. Now, John chapter 16, verse 33 says, these things I have spoken unto you that, and you ought to underline these two little words, because that's very important. In me, you might have peace. Because you're not going to have it from the world. Even though there's going to be persecution, a lot of things go wrong. A lot of heartaches and suffering and sorrow. In me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. You see those prepositional phrases? In the world and in me. Two different places. And while you're in one place having persecution and the heartache and the sorrow and the trials and tribulations and the sorrow, yet in him I can have peace. In him I can have joy. And that's why he says, my joy I give and my peace that I give. See there in verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Because, see, God's going to give you his joy, his peace. All you and I have to do is to abide in the Lord, and you'd be surprised what God will do for us. And so, therefore, back in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He'll never leave you and never forsake you, and he has all power and he can change anything. He can alter anything. He's God. So therefore, what's the problem? You got a problem that's too big for God to handle? How big is your God? And don't think that your problems are too small to concern God with. Well, I don't want to embarrass him. You know, he might not be able to, you know, he don't want to be bothered with my little things. And the big things in my life, well, they're too big for him to do anything about anyway. So you might as well just worry, right? Take your Bible now and look in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs in chapter 3. Because we're talking about, where was God? Where is God? He was there when I was born. He said he'd never leave me and never forsake me. And I've been to a lot of, you know, rough places. And he said he'd never leave me. He must have always been there. And now he says this in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Look there in verse 5. Two verses that many people memorize, they love, and so forth. But it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Just a couple questions. It says, trust. Okay. What does it say about trust? Trust in who? In the Lord. Well, where is he? Well, he's on the other side of the world. He's on the other side of those galaxies out there. I mean, he's so busy, he ain't got time to be messing around with your little old life. I mean, who in the world do you think you are? You're just a little old bitty nothing down here on this little planet. Have you been in an airplane? And you look down and you see all those people that look so small, cars. I used to just be amazed I'd look at that thing. Remember one time I got on the plane and I looked out there. I said, honey, look at it. Those people, they look like ants. She says, they are. We ain't took off yet. But, you know, from your perspective, everything looks just, you know, so out of joint. It's just can't fathom things. There's a divine perspective and a human perspective. So how you looking? Well, where is God? Where is he? Is he here right now? Is he in this room right now? Where does he live? He lives where? Inside of you. Do you really know that? Do you really believe that? I know God is here because I brought him. Now, some of you probably brought Amalek this morning. How many in here have Amalek? How many of you know who Amalek is? Some of you had missed a sermon a week ago. Amalek's a bad man. That's that old sinful nature, and he lives inside of you. But you also, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I got the Lord living inside of me. My body is the temple of the Lord. So therefore, my body is where the Lord lives. And he lives in me. So I know that wherever I go, the Lord is with me. And so I know that I need to watch how I think. It's not like I can have my own thoughts. No, nobody can read my thoughts. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. Or do they? Does God know what I'm thinking? Isn't that scary? Isn't that humbling? Don't you wish you had a delete button? You could delete. Wouldn't it be neat if in your Christian life, okay, I had something on, delete. No trash pile. Can't bring it back. And you could forget. It's gone. No recollection. Have you ever did something and said, no, I don't remember. Betty says, Yankee, I told you that. I don't remember. You know, we can try that with each other. But there's the Lord that's, where it says, I told you, I don't remember. I didn't hear you. Lord, you know I'm hardly hearing. I got hearing aids in both ears. Not my fault. Oh, I wish we could sometimes figure out a way to get out of having to be chastened of the Lord sometimes. Just plead ignorance. Well, look what else he says here in this verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, wait a minute. If I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, okay, what am I going to trust him for? What am I trusting him for? Now, these two verses, really, believe it or not, is talking about your course of life. It's talking about your understanding, your spiritual discernment. So you're going to trust. Who are you going to trust? Well, it says trust the Lord. Okay, when? When do you trust Him? All the time. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. How much? With all your heart. Man, that's pretty inclusive here. Well, if I do that, then He must be there. He must be with me. He has to know and hear everything and that I'm trusting Him. Isn't it something that God knows who's trusting Him, dependent upon Him, if you never say a word, but by faith alone, as though faith is some invisible thing that, you know, locks on to God. Faith locks in on God. Whenever you, by faith, take God at His word, it's like locking in on to God. And God knows those who lock in on Him. It's just like the woman that said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I shall be healed. She knew that. A lot of people touching Him, but she was touching Him with faith. She was believing something about who He is and what He can do. See, a lot of God's children, He's all of our Savior and God's our Father. But there's a lot of people that don't understand and they don't learn to walk with the Lord and to trust the Lord. So even in this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. One other verse before we close. Look there in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to notice this verse. Notice what it says in verse 18. He's talked in here about us as a child of God. Not walking in darkness, but walking in the light. How to believe God because of who you are. So he says in verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my son and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty. See, you trusted Him as your Savior, but God's talking about, I want you to live as though I am your Father. And the Father says, I'm going to treat you as you're my child. And that's why in chapter 7, in verse 1, when he makes this statement, having therefore received these promises, see there? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, it makes a difference when you know that you're living in the presence of the Lord. He is with you. Where's God? Well, He's right here with me. Everywhere I go, I'm His child. He was there the day I was born and said He'd never leave me, never forsake me. That's news in all the world. Would take my
place. Have you ever heard that faith without works is dead? Or have you ever read James chapter 2? Does your faith produce good works? Some teach that if you don't serve the Lord, you're not saved. Is that true or false? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.